Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the BC. It is Saturday, the 27th of July, Anno Domini 2013, and you, oh, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose. Nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues. Here comes the news. News of the new Nexus 7. This is all the thing. Well, many of the things. We don't have time for all the things that were at the Google announcement earlier this week. News of the new Nexus 7 leaked early. So the highlight of Wednesday's breakfast with Sundar Pichai was a product that truly surprised everybody, Chromecast. But here's a quick rundown of everything. Google's first announcement Wednesday was the slim new Nexus 7, which Google bills as the world's highest resolution 7-inch tablet. The new Nexus has a true 1080p display of 323 pixels per square inch, up from 216 ppi in the original. At 2 millimeters thinner and 50 grams lighter, the tablet promises to feel better in the hand than last year's model. It should sound better, too. The new Nexus includes dual stereo speakers, and it ships with Android 4.3 Jelly Bean. The new Nexus 7 is Google's first unlocked LTE tablet, and it's compatible with AT&T, T-Mobile, and Verizon. It costs $229 for the 16-gig model, $269 for the 32-gig model, and $349 for the 32-gig model with LTE. Beginning July 30th, you'll be able to find it at retailers, including Amazon, Best Buy, Radio Shack, and Walmart. The biggest news from today's event was Chromecast, a 2-inch dongle that allows users to stream video from a phone, tablet, or laptop to their TV. So much for the ill-fated Nexus Q and maybe even Google TV. The Chromecast appears to be the future of Google's living room strategy. The device, which sells for $35, yes, $35, and comes with 3 free months of Netflix, which brings the cost down to about $11, connects via HDMI. You can stream from Android devices and from iOS through the YouTube app. Chromecast doesn't directly mirror to devices as with Apple's AirPlay. Instead, it turns the phone into a remote, allowing users to queue up and play videos, remote volume, control the volume, and even turn on the TV. My Blu-ray player does some of that. I can control the YouTube app on the player from my phone or my tablet or whatever. The long-awaited 4.3 update to Android also arrived on Wednesday. The latest version of Jelly Bean offers restricted profiles, allowing you to restrict app content at the user level to prevent younger members of your family from seeing inappropriate content. The update also includes Bluetooth Smart, aka Bluetooth Low Energy, which enables the devices to communicate with reduced power consumption, and it also includes OpenGL ES 3.0 support, an enhancement to Android's graphics rendering capabilities that Google calls a big deal for game developers. Android 4.3 will be rolled out on the Nexus 4, the Nexus 10, first generation Nexus 7, that's mine, my tablet, and the Galaxy Nexus, that's my phone, starting right now. So keep checking every 12 minutes, because that won't wear your battery down. The HTC One and Galaxy S4 Google editions are getting it very soon as well, Google said. Google also introduced Android's answer to Apple's Game Center, an app called Google Play Games. It displays your games, your friends, on a single screen, lets you see highlights from both categories. It's also available even today. So, our poll of the week at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Google's new hardware and software announcements, and your choices are, holy moly, I can't wait, pretty nice stuff, meh, and pardon me while I hug my Steve Jobs doll and cry. So far, we've got 27 votes, and most of you is like, meh, followed by pretty nice stuff. And of course, I know you'll have more to say about this, so you will find in our forums under the polls, July 13, Google's new hardware and software announcements. So what do you think of them? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
For $35, it's a heck of a deal.
I don't know how you can not buy one for $35.
Yep. One of the blogs, and I'm trying to find the chart, did a chart of the Chromecast versus the Apple TV versus the Roku. And Chromecast is almost a one-trick pony. All it does is send music from your or send media from your device.
Today.
They'll be able to add features later. But that means you have to have your tablet or your computer also running Chrome to be able to mirror to the television, to see Netflix or Hulu or any of the other devices or services. Apple and Roku have that stuff built into the box.
No. You should be able to do it right from YouTube, wherever you run YouTube from. So if you've got a YouTube app, even on an Apple device,
right,
you can do that.
But you have to use the Apple device or you have to use your mobile device as the source to tell the...
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
so cool is it
to be able to sit back and say, oh, I want to see this one next, and boom, there it is on your TV.
Well,
I mean, that's kind of the point right now.
Yeah, and the point of the blog, if I can actually find it, was that the other boxes do more, and that's why they cost more.
Right.
Yeah. But
absolutely,
for $35, well, see, my problem is I've only got one HDMI on my television, so I've already got a four-port switch with three ports on it. So I got to that last port, I got to really, really know what I want to put on it.
Well, but for $35, you can plug this in and then not use it after 6 months. Who cares?
Yep.
But yeah, it's a pretty neat deal, and I'm tempted by the new,
because you've got a
Nexus
Roku box,
7
right?
Tablet. Oh yeah, I know. I've replaced that with my Blu-ray player because it does the two big things that I use all the time, which are Netflix and Pandora.
Yep.
And my daughter is crying.
And we're seeing some
Roku box.
Yeah, we're also seeing some televisions are adding those features built in. That's in essence what a smart TV is it's got that internet appliance built in as well. So Google and Apple and Roku have competition coming from the actual TV makers themselves. And then the Blu-ray players have that built in now too. And so it's interesting. There's all these different ways to get the same content. So the winner here is Netflix.
Yeah, there's really no question.
Yep.
In fact, I have another story later about Netflix. They gained 600,000 users when Arrested Development became available.
Yep.
600,000.
They got some Emmy nominations too, didn't they?
For House of Cards and Arrested Development.
For a non-traditional television source.
And we're saying it's just the beginning.
Yep.
You know, they do the math. If you can get 600,000 people at $8 a piece, that's almost $5 million.
That's the chart. I got to find where I got it from. I have a picture of the chart. I just got to find the source so I can post the link.
You're right. It's about $5 million a month.
Yeah.
So, you know, they can keep doing that over and over and over again.
Yeah, $8 a month isn't much.
Right.
To get, and actually at CIDR at an upcoming meeting, we're doing a thing on cord cutting, where you can cut your cable TV bill by using cable internet. The biggest challenge is you can't get things live very easy.
Right.
And you may have to wait till the end of a season to see a show.
Right.
So you can't talk about it on the around the water cooler at the office.
Right. Right. All right, to the phones. Our first caller, Carl from Pottstown, PA. How are things down in PA?
Okay, how are you?
Peachy.
Good. Well, I finally got a new computer.
Congratulations. What'd you get?
Thank you. It's a Windows 7 machine, Windows 7 Pro. But now I have a friend who wants my old machine, which is a 12-year-old Windows XP machine. And I want to ask you to recommend software that will delete all of the files on the machine to the point where they cannot be recovered so that I can return the machine to original condition before giving it to him.
D-Ban,
Derek's Boot and Nuke. That will completely scrub the entire hard drive down to the point where nothing is recoverable.
Yeah, it's pretty well wiped.
Yeah. There are multiple levels of D-Ban. It's a downloadable thing. Derek's Boot and Nuke, Steve is putting up a link to it. You run it at whichever level you want, and frankly, if I were you, I'd run it at the highest level for this, and let it take a couple of days to clean the drive. And then when you're done, you will need to then put an operating system back on it again. And then when you're done with that, it's clean. Trust me.
Okay, and what's the name of it again?
Derek's Boot and Nuke.
It's dban.org.
Okay. Now, does this come on a disk, or can I just download it?
Yeah, you download it, you burn it to a flash drive or a CD, and then you boot that CD to be able to erase the hard drive.
Okay, so I have to alter the machine so that it boots from something other than the C drive, then.
Yes. Right, yep.
Well, clearly you would have to.
And then set it back when you're done.
Right.
Right. Okay, I'll give that a try. Thank you very much.
All right. Have fun.
And on the Mac side, there is actually built into the operating system is Disk Utility, and it has a multi-pass recovery. There's a 7-pass that I think I tried it, and it was like a week. And then there's a 35-pass that I let it go for as long as I could feel like it, and I had to give up after a couple of weeks. It just sat there running and running and running. So it writes zeros, it writes ones, it writes zeros, it writes ones. So it completely overwrites any data that's on the disk.
Right, and so the question becomes, how paranoid are you?
Yeah.
And so that gives you the idea of how long it may take to actually zero the thing out. But when you're done, trust me, you're done.
Yeah.
So Derek's Boot and Nuke, very neat product.
For all but the NSA, probably a 2-pass is fine.
Yeah, right. But yeah, so, you know, if you really, well, you know what, if you've been using this for your business,
yep,
and you've got your accounts on it and everything else, certainly, you know, taking that 5-pass, 10-pass, 20-pass, 35-pass, is not a bad thing to do. It's security. It's a security blanket for you, and I think that's important. You have the only thing that would be safer, I think, would be if you were to
Well, if you could physically destroy the disk, and then it's unlikely anybody could get anything back, but then you can't use it again. And in fact, that's what we have seen some people do, is you pull a hard drive out and put a fresh hard drive in before you sell it or give it to somebody, and you keep the hard drive with your data in the closet so that you never have to worry about anyone getting your data.
Right.
So for the extra, I hear stories, SpinRite is a popular disk recovery and maintenance tool. Hear stories from people who let go dumpster diving and you know, you see computers sitting out on the street, and sometimes the IT staff have labeled them, you know, dead hard drive, you know, bad logic board, whatever. And this one guy wrote a letter into the show and said that, you know, I ran SpinRite on all the ones that said dead hard drive, fixed them, work fine. I have all their company data back too.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's like, remember that story I told you, a friend of mine, she's concerned about her computer, so she took it all apart.
Yeah.
And went around the neighborhood dropping some parts here, some parts there, some parts there. And I go, what'd you do with the hard drive? Oh, that went in a separate dumpster. I go, no. What did you do with the hard drive? Well, I just put it in another dumpster. I says, there goes your data.
Yeah. Still intact.
Yeah, but it, she goes, but it, the machine. So,
yeah, if you're in the movies, that works with guns. Drop a piece in every dumpster on the way. But it does not work with hard drives, because the only important part is the hard drive itself.
Well, her husband, of course, was laughing his butt off, too, because this all happened. Well, he was on a business trip. She had to go get a new computer. So she figured she'd do a good thing, help him out. She took every screw, nut, and bolt out of it, distributed it all over the neighborhood. He still harasses her.
Of course he does. Listen, there's only three things that really work to kill Four things. Nobody speaks Spanish Inquisition. A huge magnet.
Yeah.
A sledgehammer.
Yes.
My favorite. A drill and a shotgun.
Oh, that would be good for target practice.
I have a friend who is a gunsmith. Ooh. And he lives way down in the southern tier, and he's got his own flinger, whatever they call those things for skeet.
I think it's a skeet flinger.
Skeet flinger. There you go. There you go. Well, y'all knew what I was talking about. Are you saying you can't see my video on the Hangout? Jerry said he couldn't see my video. I see my video.
Is he complaining?
Oh, we can
or
see
just
it now.
Commenting?
No, I think he was happy at that point. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I don't think there was any complaint there whatsoever. I think he was happy about it right now. I think that's him there, and he's in the dark right now. He's a silhouette. He looks like one of those people they put on. He looks like one of those people they put on television. We're not going to. See, now we see his face. There we are.
All right, I'm having a brain fart.
Yeah, okay.
Trying to remember how to spell Cheryl. We got Cheryl from Rochester on the phone.
All right, Cheryl. We have Cheryl from Rochester on the phone. Welcome, Cheryl. What's up?
I have a question about my Google Nexus 7 tablet.
Sure.
Which I love, thanks to you guys. It's been very quick with everything I've done up until about the last 2 weeks. If I'm in an email, I get some emails from a company where I can click on the link, and it's a company I trust, and it'll go right to their website from the email. Haven't had a problem in the past, but the last couple weeks I click on it, and it looks like it's going there. You know, the URL is there, but then it seems like it never opens. Now, if I come back later, it might be there. Or if I do a Google search, I click, you know, it brings up the choices. I click on it, and it looks like it's trying to go there, but it doesn't. And if I come back 30 seconds later and click on Chrome, then that page is open. So I'm thinking maybe something's just really slowing it down.
It's possible, but you know what? We have to take a quick break, so stay on the line, Cheryl.
Okay.
Do not hang up. Stay on the line, and we'll come back to you when we come back. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco. Michael Oden is just sitting in. He's just hanging around with us today. And you, it is 20 minutes after the hour, and we are the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 25 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And Steve has something to say.
No, we've got to answer the ladies' questions first.
Oh, we still got Cheryl on the line. Cheryl, I'm an idiot, and I apologize.
You're not an idiot.
Well, yes, I am, but that's separate from this. if you're having trouble opening, is it all emails or specific emails?
Well, it's actually not the email. I use Gmail, but I'm very careful about links I click on, but this is a particular site that I get emails from all the time, and there's links in there to get directly to their website from the email. So it's links that I'm clicking on. Even if I do a Google search and it brings up a bunch of choices, if I click on that website I want to go to, it's either not going or it's very slow.
Right, and it's only on that website.
No, if I Google any website and I click the link right from the Google search,
yeah,
it does the same thing. I did download the weather app IntelliCast about a week ago. I don't know if that's just trying to do a lot of stuff in the background that could be slowing it down.
There are a lot of things that let me suggest that just for the heck of it, uninstall IntelliCast and see what happens. That's where I would start.
Do you have a Google account that you're logged into when you're doing your searching?
I do have a Google account, but I don't think I'm logged in when I'm doing that. I just pull up the Google app, you know, the Google thing on the tablet and then do a search.
Yeah, usually when you're logged in, you'll see a little icon of yourself, but I don't know about on the Android tablet, because that may be trying to save her history and her searches or whatnot. Is there a clear cache in Android? You're using Chrome, right, on the tablet?
Yeah, you can clear the cache, and that might help.
How do you do that again?
I don't have my tablet in front of me.
Is it in the settings somewhere?
Yeah, somewhere in the settings for Chrome itself.
Oh, okay.
I'm afraid I don't have my tablet in front of me, or I could lead you to it, but
I'll find a link for it.
Try uninstalling IntelliCast. I also downloaded a camera app. That was actually sort of a really quick separate question, but where do those pictures go when if you have a camera app and you take pictures? Where do the pictures go?
They go into the gallery.
Okay.
So you should have an icon somewhere for gallery.
Right.
Clicking on that, you could see. You should have one of the newer versions of the Android operating system. So you should see a bunch of groups. One of which would be camera. You might have download. You might have several different groups, but in one of those groups will be all the pictures you've taken.
Okay. All right. Great. Well, I'll play around with that a little bit.
All righty.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And there's a in the settings app under storage. There's now a new command. Apparently, they just added in 4.2 called cached data that will allow you to clear your caches and data.
Right. One of the things that we've discovered is that if you have a lot of things running,
mm-hmm.
and they often are running in the background, one of the things that Apple, you know, people say, well, yeah, Apple can't do two things at once. In some ways, that's good because there's only ever one thing running.
Right.
Whereas on the Nexus 7, you can have multiple things running. And if you've got stuff running in the background, that's trying to do things
mm-hmm.
like that in IntelliCast. I don't know it. So, but on the there are three icons across the bottom, and the third one on the right there is two little rectangles, one behind the other. If you hit that, you'll see a list of everything that's loaded into your machine, which means you can pick out anything you like out of that list by just tapping on it. And it will bring it to the fore. But it also means you may see a whole bunch of things. So if you actually, not tap, but just hit and slide off the screen any one of those, it stops it. So, and it disappears from the list. So if you've got 15 or 20 things, just flick them off the screen and you're in pretty good shape there.
And it is similar on the iPad. You may only be able to run one app in the foreground, but your background apps can be doing things, mm-hmm. you know, like weather grabbing and Skype looking for, waiting for a phone call. In fact, we hear Skype in the background will drain your battery really quick because it's waiting for a call. So you can, in the same way, close any running apps. If you double tap the home button, that brings up your task switcher at the bottom of the screen, let you switch between your open apps. And you might notice there's a lot of them there because every app you've ever opened stays opened until you close it.
Yeah.
So then you tap and hold on any of the apps and they start jiggling just like they do when you want to move your apps. Then you can quit any running app.
Because there's a little X in the corner.
A red minus sign.
Right.
But, and it's even rebooting doesn't help sometimes because
it'll restart them up.
Right, it relaunches all the apps you had waiting. In it. So it thinks when you ran an app, it's going to stay in the background waiting for you. That way it can come to the foreground faster than launching from a dead stop again.
And you can get a number of programs, though, or apps that'll kill all the other apps. And that's what it is an app killer. Matter of fact, that's what I surprised when I switched phones, even going from one to the other, one carrier to the current carrier I'm with. That still came along, and I love it because I'm able to periodically just click on it. Shows me all the apps that are running. And I just say kill, does it, and you know, again, like you said, it's helping keep the battery life because a lot of these are just constantly just sitting there. Do you need me? Do you need me?
Right.
Do you need me?
So that may help unexplained battery drains if you happen to have a lot of programs still running.
In addition, and it would only happen once or twice if it were this, but for some people, what they'll find is that if they are doing a big download, like you haven't updated your phone in a while and there's mm-hmm. five or six or seven apps that are
updating, the operating system, the OS.
Or the operating system itself, which is going to update for many people this week and next, you'll find that the whole system gets slow because certainly for installation of apps, that takes priority over almost everything else.
Just to backtrack for a second, because I was busy doing the board, you were saying that our Nexus is getting an update?
Yes. The new version 4.3, Android 4.3, then the original Nexus 7 will be getting it, mm-hmm. as well as the Galaxy Nexus, which is my phone.
Okay.
And a couple of others.
That's so this week.
That's, well, they're starting this week.
Okay.
You may be next week or even the week
after.
No,
that's
after,
okay. Just said,
right?
No, yeah.
Right.
I'm sure I'll get a warning, you know, hey, there's the update, and I just sit there and let it do it because that's Nexus 7. I love that machine.
I love that machine. Ugh. I'm actually thinking about the new one.
Really?
Yeah. It's slimmer, all right, so, it's lighter, it's faster, blah, blah, blah.
They introduced a 4 also, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much memory?
It's the same 128 or 256. You've got the...
I meant the 4 gig, or is it going to be 32 gig?
Yeah, that's what I meant. What did I say? No,
256?
16 gig or 32 gig.
Okay. I'm surprised that they didn't do 32 and 64.
No, it's
gotta keep the price down.
32, and that's what keeps the price
down.
Yeah,
but memory's still dirt
cheap. But you can also get it now with LTE. So you can run it on T-Mobile or Verizon.
Mm-hmm. Sharing data. Sharing again into their planes sharing the data.
Right,
gotcha.
Right.
That makes sense.
That's why Apple's iPad with 128 gigs is $800.
Right. Right.
Well, and Apple. I've seen this on the Google side, too. Apple's iPad models to double the RAM is $100 more, double the storage. So it goes from 16 to 32 to 64 to 128. We know that the chip doesn't cost $100.
We know the chip doesn't cost anywhere near $100.
So a lot of that is a marketing issue, that if it was $10 more for the greater storage, no one would ever buy the lower storage one.
Right.
Which would almost, I can argue both sides of a problem myself.
Right.
I sometimes wish Apple would just sell, you know, like one model with a bunch of storage. Why have 16 models? Because there's different price ranges for each person.
Well,
as a retailer, we've got, what is it? There's 4 iPad capacities, 2 colors, and 4 wireless configurations. So what is that? 32 different iPad models. Then the iPad mini comes the same way. So we've got 100 different models.
Yep.
of iPod Touch, iPad Mini, and iPad we have to stock. And you got to have a couple of each so you can sell them. So it's horrible inventory to be able to have to do this stuff. And we know that the cost of the storage, the flash chips, aren't that much.
No.
You look at a flash drive, you know, a 16-gig flash drive is $7 and a 32-gig drive is $8.
Yeah, right.
I think I got the 64. Yeah, it's a 64-gig. I think it was on sale at BJ's for, I think it was 12.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah?
Now, that's a NAND flash chip, right? That's the same that's going in these tablets.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. I'm surprised that they don't.
Yeah.
The cost, but I would think the benefits by going to a 32 to 64 instead of keeping the 16 to 32 would be a bigger push for folks to go to the higher end, because now they're not just getting 32 gig again.
Well, what
they're going up to 64.
Yeah, but let me admit that I have not yet even come close to filling my 32 gig machine.
No, same here.
My 16 gig is always full, and I have to keep pulling stuff off. So I wish I had gotten a 32.
Yeah.
The one problem with the 16 gig models on all the tablets is the OS takes up 2 or 3 gigs of that.
Right.
So you buy a 16 gig unit, you only get like 12 gig. And in the Windows tablets, it's worse.
Right. But because now I get all my music off of Google Play, and because the books that I read are really mostly stored either at Amazon or Barnes & Noble or Google Play.
And books are relatively small.
Mm-hmm. And books are relatively small to begin with. I'm not using anywhere near that 32 gig, and I admit it.
So I've got my 16 gig iPod Touch is where my music and podcasts are, and my 16 gig iPad is where my books and my apps are. So I've got 32 gigs full.
<You're right. laughs>
I need another one for if I want anything else.
All right, let's get to the phones. Lynn from Clymer, New York. Hi, Lynn, what's up?
Was it Cheryl that was talking about IntelliCast?
She was the one with the slowdown.
She's got IntelliCast IntelliCast for the weather.
Wondering if that was slowing her down.
Anyway, I have used that for between 2 and 3 years without problems until about a week and a half ago. and then it came up with a pop under. I don't know if they got hijacked or what, but then that also installed a toolbar in it, and it would shut my machine. It didn't shut it off, but it just killed the network.
Well, that may be what's happening with Cheryl, which is one of the things I said is to turn off IntelliCast, see if that helps.
Yeah, it probably would, but I wish I could remember what I did to end up fixing it, except I did run CombiFix, and that helped me figure out anyway how
to... she's on a tablet, so...
fix it anyway.
Right, well, she's on a tablet, so that's going to be different.
Yeah, okay.
But always, if Cheryl, if you're still listening, I can't imagine you aren't because, you know, everybody should be. You should also make sure you're running an antivirus program of some sort. And there are several. Lookout itself is pretty good. There's AVG has a model and the other one that starts Avast.
Avast.
All have versions. That you might want to run, you just take a look for antivirus in the Google Play Store and pick a free one, and you're on your way.
So that's one of the problems with tablets about why 16 gigs isn't enough. You're looking at the App Store. Ooh, that's neat. Download. Ooh, that's neat. Download. Ooh, I can get the weather and have it push alerts. Ooh, download. Ooh, I can do this other thing and have it push. Ooh, download. And suddenly you're full, and suddenly your battery doesn't last, and suddenly it's really slow.
Right, right. I'm always amused by people who just get a new phone. And then they say, but the battery only lasted about 6 hours. Well, what were you doing for those 6 hours? Oh, downloading apps and playing with it and doing... Yep. Yeah, well, yeah.
Watching video and streaming internet and, yeah.
Exactly. Sorry, Lynn, you had something to say?
Well, I was just curious. Something else that's just showed up, and I don't know whether it's related to that problem, but all of a sudden I found that a number of websites, in fact, many of them, are showing WebCake. And I'd never heard of that until maybe 3 days ago. And it is annoying as heck. I don't think it does anything. It doesn't slow down the machine or anything. It was just annoying because it's floating around in the way, and it's just a nuisance.
It's one
as
of those.
Far as I can tell.
Yeah, it's one of those ad programs that companies can buy to help monetize their free website. They're letting you in, but it does seem to be getting a bad reputation on the net. People asking, "Is it a virus?" Well, no, not technically. No,
technically no, but. Everybody is saying it infects computers and blah, blah, blah. Some people are, in fact, calling it a virus.
Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and SpyBot and Malwarebytes.
Very annoying adware.
Yeah.
Yeah. But both SpyBot and Malwarebytes.
Oh, SpyBot.
Yeah,
okay.
We'll take care of it. But, again... depending on which version you have and who installed it and blah, 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 blah.
How it snuck in. You probably installed something.
Yeah, not
something
who installed it, right. But how it snuck in.
You probably installed something else, and there was a checkbox that said, do you want to get, they probably said it something else. Like, do you want to get discounted offers from our sponsors?
Right.
Oh, yeah, I like discounts.
I think it just showed up. I think I was on the Dell site, which reminds me.
Yeah, I can do a lot of drive-by downloads as well, so... I would dance the tango if nothing else works.
Yeah. I think I got rid of it, I believe, but I'm not absolutely positive. But
I found it.
How is Dell doing? Did Intel and Michael end up taking that over and own it now, or?
Well,
Dell?
As far as I know, I haven't heard anything new. I think they're still in the process.
I just read something a week ago, I think it was, where he's got to put up more money.
Yeah.
Michael Dell is taking the Dell company private, in essence, by buying all the stock back himself. I think Microsoft put some investment in and whatnot. And the irony is that he told Apple they should do that 10 years ago and give the money back to the customers, and now... Dell is doing it himself.
Right. All right, Lynn, that music tells me we got to take a break.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray. Well, Michael Oden is still here, just sitting quietly, lurking. Nick Francesco and you. It's 41 minutes after the hour. Soundbites, member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 46 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And we have a question from Richard on the Google Hangout. It says, I have a question Do you guys know about a program called Auto Runs, which is used to edit your startup file? And yeah, there is a program. It's part of the Windows System Internals site, sysinternals.com, I think it is. Yeah, download.sysinternals.com /file/autoruns.zip. And what it is it's a utility which has pretty much the most comprehensive knowledge of locations for auto-starting things. And it will show you what programs are configured to auto-start, it's run by themselves during system boot or login, shows you the entries in the order that Windows will actually process them. It includes the startup folder, the run once, other registry keys, everything. You can even add other locations to it, like Explorer, shell extensions, toolbars, everything else. It goes way beyond MS config. It can show you a lot of things. You can also check them on or off or whatever you want to do. But make sure you get the one from SysInternals.
Which was purchased by Microsoft.
By Microsoft, right.
So it's Mark Rusinovich. Did such a good job on this site, wrote so many really cool Windows programs that Microsoft bought him.
Yep.
And he's written some interesting science fiction stories, too. Sort of science fiction. He wrote one called Zero Day about viruses. And it's one of those that... it's not quite true yet, but there's enough in the book that could have happened.
Yeah, right. So yeah, that's the product, and I'll tell you what, it's a pretty nifty product if you make sure you get the version. And again, I'm saying you got to make sure you got the right version.
And I've got it linked on the link list. Good. But it can be dangerous because it lets you get into Windows and do things in the registry. You're not actually in the registry, but you're doing things to the registry.
Darn close.
Yeah. So you could accidentally screw your computer up really good.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, is it really good or really bad?
Really good.
You can screw it up really good, which is really bad. Yeah,
right. Really good for you guys.
Are you hurt
really
bad?
Bad for them, yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of anyone hurt good?
Yeah, right. All right, our next caller on the phone is Robert from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Robert. What's your question?
Nick, hi. A couple of things. First, disposing of hard drives. Whenever I dispose of a hard drive, I lay it on the table of my $10 garage sale drill press, and I drill a hole through it.
Yep.
And just to show anybody who happens to find it, I take a zip tie, a cable tie, and put it through, like at a gun show.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And with CDs that I burn, I take a pair of leather gloves, and I hold it on edge, and I hold it over, and also wear eye protection, hold it over a gaping garbage can, and snap it in pieces, and they shatter.
Yep.
And anybody who wants to get the information after I did all that can have it, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. If you can get it back.
There is a potential that forensic analysis could recover something, but not very likely. And
somebody told me you need an electron microscope to do that.
Yeah, there's companies like Drive Savers and Data Rescue, and that's what they do. They have clean room and spacesuits, and they have electron microscopes, and they literally look at, is the magnetic particle going north and south, or is it going south and north?
Right.
And resurrect your data. There'll be gaps where you drilled the hole, so who knows if the data will be usable. But, it's potential that they could get to it, but not likely.
And it's got to be awful darn important for anybody to even want to consider doing that.
For sure. Now, next, I want to say thank you for giving me advice 2 weeks ago on how to migrate from Outlook Express under XP with POP to more modern email technique. What I did was I installed Thunderbird. I imported my local message store from Outlook Express into Thunderbird. I'm not sure if this was necessary, but that's what I did. And then I set up the Thunderbird to work with a new blank Gmail account that I set up.
Right.
And then through Thunderbird, I was able just to drag and drop, to copy all the local files that existed on my hard disk onto Gmail's server.
Yep.
Okay. And then when that was all accomplished and verified, I could either ignore or delete the local message store, and I'm good to go.
Yep. And now the new Gmail is running IMAP, right?
The new Gmail is running IMAP.
Perfect.
And I discovered that Gmail has improved since I last used it. They now have in their inbox a sorting filter. I think they call them categories.
Yeah.
And it just makes it much easier to use the Gmail interface than the web interface.
Yeah. They also just added, and some people hate it, they added a social sort and an advertising sort, so it will show you just like your Facebook and your Twitter posts and just your Amazon posts. Most people I've talked to like to see all their mail in the inbox, and I'll sort it myself, thank you.
Right.
Well, on... I don't know if it just hasn't been updated, but Thunderbird just dumps all the inboxes, regardless of what category it is,
right. Yep.
into the same queue. I seem to like it. It just helps me delete stuff category by category.
Yep.
Finally, I mentioned that one of the things tying me to XP was their docking toolbars, and I have not been able to find anything to my liking. So what I have embarked on doing is studying C sharp to make my own. So
wow, good for you.
I'm necessity is the mother of invention. I'm kind of on my way. I'm not going to create the same kind of product, but I think I might find something make something usable in Windows 7.
Good for you.
It's tough.
We were just well, yeah. You guys were just commenting the week I was gone about people not programming anymore.
Yep, and I'm delighted to hear it.
Yeah, so I do this, but at the same time, I'm deficient in all the modern areas of interest. I don't have a smartphone, and I don't do social media, but I do what I like, so I'm good to go.
There you go, and we're slowly dragging you into the 21st century, Robert.
Well, Microsoft is too by stopping support of,
yeah, right,
of
right.
XP. But thank you very much for helping me.
Thank you. I love to hear that. Thanks so much.
Cool.
No, that is kind of nice.
That's very cool. Yep. That's very, very cool. That's very
nice. And I just found something cool too. I found a picture-in-picture button for my video editor. So now on the Ustream, I've got all three of us in the same shot.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Look at you.
And let's see if I can move Dave so he's sitting between us here. And I can make him... Well, see, now you're not on the picture.
Or I can go hide behind Dave.
Or, no, I'll turn it to Mike. So, yeah.
Nice.
That's Pip. Pitcher in pitcher.
Yeah.
It's been there all along. I just didn't know what it...
Shazam!
You have that on your television, too, I betcha.
Actually, no. The newer ones. My new TV doesn't. My old CRT television did, but my new...
Yeah, same with mine. It does.
Yeah. I can switch between inputs. I just can't have two at the same time.
Right.
That never really caught on anyways, I don't think.
For some people, it did. But a lot of people I know used it to watch two games at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's...
Or you monitor the commercial on the show you're really watching, so you can skim through another show, and then when the commercial ends, use it back.
Right.
It still has the jump back to last channel button. But I did see a remote once. Where was I? I forget. It must have been a hotel. You know how you're surfing and surfing and surfing and surfing, and you just hit next, 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 next. The jump back button jumped back to the last channel you spent more time on.
Nice.
So I could say channel, 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 because usually when you say jump back, it goes back to the one last channel. This one jumped all the way back.
Yeah, I think you got to stay on it for like, I think it's 20 to 30 seconds.
And then it remembers.
And it remembers that one that you really wanted. And then you can go forward, forward, forward. Because I do that with mine. Boom, I'll go back. And it takes me back to the one that, like you say, was watching for more than at least a few seconds.
Yep.
So.
Nice. Well,
cool.
Yeah, I don't, I just got a new TV. I got a...
what size?
It's only 24 inches.
Okay. Well, yeah, in that room. Yeah, in that room.
That's all I need.
Yeah.
And it's pretty nice. It's got a couple of HDMI inputs. It's kind of nifty, but it's kind of weird. It's different because it actually turns itself off, which is a good thing, mm-hmm. as opposed to constantly being on standby.
True.
But it means now when I turn the TV on, I have to actually wait for it to turn on.
Ooh, we have to wait 20 seconds.
Yeah.
No, it's more like 10, but it seems like forever. The yeah. same thing is true of my new Blu-ray player. It turns off as well. So when I turn it on, I have to wait for it to find an internet connection.
Okay.
Yep.
Again, it doesn't take long at all, but it takes time.
Yeah.
And I'm used to instant on with everything now. It's very weird. It's very weird. But, you know, so far I like it. So far, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, you know, like I say, I love just the high def.
Yep.
You know, you look at something in regular, and then you switch over to high def, and it's like, whoa, they're like sitting there right in your living room, and it's...
I'm anxiously awaiting the new box. CEO of Time Warner, who announced he's stepping down this week, so that may not be bode well. Earlier this year, he said there's a new box coming for Time Warner. Six tuners. You can record six channels at once, and it has a 1 terabyte hard drive.
Yeah, and how much will that cost?
Well, yeah, more than the current box.
As much as the market will bear.
There's only two channels, and it's got an 80 gig hard drive. That's yeah, not right. much at all. In fact, I had a nice big Cisco box with a 500 gig hard drive in it, and it malfunctioned, and the guy brought a crappy box with only an 80 gig drive in it back. It's, well, we don't have any of those. Well, get me one.
You're right.
But then there's no way to transfer the stuff you've recorded from one to the other.
Well, and I hate that.
Because that's Time Warner, yeah. Or yeah, pretty much any cable company does that. So I'm threatening to cut the cord myself. But I want to watch Doctor Who the day it's aired. I want to watch this other stuff. The only thing is we watch everything on the DVR anyway. We rarely watch live television.
Yeah, right.
But I don't want to have to wait more than a minute.
There's a dead spot on my DVR.
Oh, yeah?
And if I record something to it, I can't play it back. So I've been meaning to bring it in, only I don't want to have to reprogram everything all over again.
Yep. There should be a way to save your settings. Save your programming.
Nice. Yeah, that's not going to happen. All right. That music tells me that you've wasted an hour of your life listening to this show. That's an hour you'll never get back. But hey, if you're a slow learner, you get to do it all over again, because on the other side of what's coming up next, we're going to do a whole another hour of the longest running computer show in the known universe with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Michael Oden, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 59 minutes after the hour, and we will be back with a whole lot more of the longest running computer show in the known universe. You already know who we are, but just in case you've forgotten, we are Soundbites, right here on the truly great and truly member supported Jazz 90.1. See you on the other side.
Show Sound Bites on member supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966 Jazz. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, Michael has left us.
Left the building.
Left to his own devices. So it's just the three of us right now. Our first question is from Jerry on the Hangout. Running Windows 7 Home Premium on an Acer laptop. Lately, when I attempt to put it into sleep mode, about half the time the screen darkens, but the power light stays lit. I try a few more times to put it to sleep, but have to completely shut down. Could there be something running that prevents it from sleeping?
Yes.
Thank you. Our next question.
Yeah, that's likely what it is. There is something running in the background mm-hmm. that's preventing it from sleeping. And it's sort of trial and error to figure out what it is. Look through all your processes. Windows.
Oh, of course, I'm answering the question, and Jerry is not there.
go back and listen to the show. Control-Alt-Delete under Windows to bring up your task manager to see all your running processes and see what's running and figure out what it is and quit it and try to sleep. And if that doesn't work, go try the next one.
Right. Be careful of what you're closing down, though. Make sure it's not something required to run the operating system. In addition, if it could be a virus. Many viruses prevent you from sleeping because they're doing stuff in the background. So if what Steve suggested did not work, then you need to dance the security tango and see if that clears up the problem. All right. Jerry's still not back, so he still doesn't know the answer. Our next caller, however, is Tony from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Tony. What's your question?
Hi. Pretty simple, I think. I have Outlook 2010 as my mail server, and this is, I know it's a setting, but I just don't know how to get it. At the in the emails, when it comes, it has from, subject, and date, and it the from part is gone. And I try to customize the toolbar to get it back on, and when it says enable it, it's grayed out and it won't do it. Is there something in there that would bring that back?
Well, if you're using Real Outlook, you can view, there are different views that are available. And you may have picked one that simply, there are some that you can certainly create your own, but there are also views that are preset.
And it's not necessarily a toolbar setting, it's a view setting.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you're right. I did go to the views, and it gives date, right. Subject, from, to, and so when I click on the from, it you know, there's a little bar across the top that gives the...
Right.
The subject date and stuff, that I can't get that from to go in there. So when I get an email, it'll just give a subject, but it doesn't give who it's from.
Wait, in the message or in the message list?
In the message list.
Right.
Okay, that's under columns.
Right, and that's on, right. Okay. So you go look in the view columns. You can also look under views. There are some views that are preset for you.
Okay.
So if you have picked one of those, you can't change that one. You have to pick custom or I think custom is the one you want.
Well, I had it and it's gone, and I you know, maybe I did something somewhere along the line and lost it. I don't know, but it was there before, and then I noticed about a week ago it wasn't there any longer, the from part.
Couple of things can happen. It may be that, like I said, you've picked one that simply doesn't use the from. You may have minimized that, just like in Excel, where you can make a column zero size.
Okay.
You can do the same with the columns in the view there. So you may have done that. And so now that's zero size, and it simply won't show up. So pick another view or reset that view by picking it again, and it could come back.
Okay, I'll give it a try.
But it's certainly you've done something to the views. Without looking at it, I can't tell you exactly what.
Sure.
But if you pick a different view or pick custom and create your own, you shouldn't have a problem.
And I just posted a link also that if you go to the view menu, go to current view, go to define view, there's a reset button that will reset it back to the standard.
There you go.
Okay, great. Thanks. I'll give it a try. Appreciate it.
Yep. All right, excellent. Thanks.
And if the reset button is dimmed, that means there are no custom settings applied to that view. Try a different view.
Right. And Jerry's back. Jerry, we've already answered your question. I'm sorry you missed it while you were gone. But it'll certainly be in the what you call it.
Yeah, there's another helpful feature that Outlook used to give, and we used to get a lot of questions on that. There was an option to view unread only messages.
Right.
So as soon as you read a message, it disappeared. And people, well, how do I get back to the messages I've already read? And it took us a while to figure out that they weren't being deleted. They were just hidden because there was a little tiny checkbox somewhere that said unread only.
Right.
And that was part of that views customization.
All right. Now, Dave apparently crossed out Tony from Rochester and rewrote Tony from Rochester.
Just so you didn't get confused.
So it's a different Tony from Rochester.
There you
Welcome,
go.
Tony. What's your question?
Hey, thanks a lot. I have an iPod Touch with a Wi-Fi function. I have a Airport Extreme in my house, and I use it to check email often and that kind of thing. I was wondering what I could use that has a larger screen. I hear you guys talking about Galaxy 7 and different iPads, and I don't need a phone, but I just need something with a larger screen and Wi-Fi.
Yeah, the iPad is pretty much exactly like the iPod Touch with a larger screen. There's the 8-inch iPad Mini, and then the 10-inch iPad, full-sized iPad, that compares to the 3.5 or 4-inch iPod Touch you may have now. So they function exactly the same. They just have the bigger screen to let you see things bigger.
How about the clarity on that smaller iPad?
It's pretty good. It's 1024 by 768. It's not the Retina class that's in all the news and in the 10-inch iPad. Apple calls their screens on many of the models a Retina screen because the dots on the screen are too small to see with your eye. Other brands of Android tablet and Microsoft tablet have that same high pixel density, but Retina is trademarked, so they don't call it that. But it's a very high resolution, and the 8-inch iPad Mini is a very nice size for reading books. It's lighter than the full sized iPad. It fits in pockets better, but that the choice is between the 8-inch screen or the 10-inch screen.
And your best bet is to head out and take a look at both of them, which you can do at the Apple Store, which you can do at...
We have them at our store also, both our stores.
And I was about to say, and you can also see them at Mac Avenue.
Yeah, we have stores in Webster and Victor.
And take a look at both of them. Hold them in your hands. Think about which one would be easier to hold all day long. Take a look at the screen for viewing, and then you can make a decision.
Okay, and that Galaxy 7, what is that?
That's the Android tablet from Google. And it's very similar. I mean, a tablet is a tablet is a tablet. They all do email. They all do web browsing. They all have various apps. It just is where you get the apps and who you get them from. And basically, the honest answer is, if you're already invested deeply in the Apple ecosystem, stick with iPad. If you're heavily invested in the Google ecosystem, stick with Nexus 7.
Do you need an antivirus and malware programs for the Android?
You should always have an antivirus program. Whether you need one or not is irrelevant, because not only does it mean that if there are viruses for your system, you'll clean them out, but it also means you won't be passing viruses on to other people.
I have a friend that just bought a smartphone, and she really doesn't know anything. She's just coming into the 20th century, and she's got a Samsung. Now, I imagine she probably has the Android operating system.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, where could I find for her, or where could she find an antivirus program?
Google has a store called the Play Store. It's where you get everything, all the apps and everything else.
And it's not just games you play. I think they could have come up with a better word.
They could have come up with a better name, but that's the name they came up with. You can get your music, your books, your apps, your games, everything through there. So she should go there and search for antivirus.
Okay.
Lookout is available. Avast is available.
Inspector Lookout from the yard. Look out!
Okay.
And of course, there are also some pay ones. So she can take a look at those and see which suits her best.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you.
So all the X-Men movies are on sale in the Google Play Store. Getting ready for the new movie, The Wolverine. Because Wolverine was the last movie, so the new one is The Wolverine.
No, it was X-Men Origins Wolverine was the last movie.
Yeah, but everyone called it Wolverine.
Yeah.
So now it's The Wolverine.
Yeah.
Actually, and they went to Japan, which is following some of the comics now, too.
Right. In addition, one of the things I love about the Google Play Store is they have one free song a day. not always something I like, but the fact that they have free music is a good thing.
Apple does one a week.
Yeah. Time Warner Cable is raising its rates for its internet service by an average of $3 a month in the Rochester area beginning on August 9th. Company spokes individual said on Thursday. The company is the largest television and internet provider in the Rochester region. The increases subscribers will face depend on the packages of television, phone, and internet service they already receive. For instance, those who receive standard internet service, which offers up to 15 megabits per second of download speed and up to 1 megabits upload speed. Notice I said up to. Will pay $54.99 a month, up from $51. That amount will vary depending on the speed of the service purchased. About 60% of Time Warner Cable customers in the Northeast region affected by the change have promotional packages that are lower than the regular packages. Those customers will not be affected by the change for as long as the promotional rates remain. Since many Time Warner Cable plans are sold as bundles of TV, phone, and internet service, only a review of your convoluted monthly bill will indicate the exact amount of the raise. The rates are rising, company spokes individual Jolie Plunknet Farman said, because heavy usage of the internet, particularly for video games and more complicated items, has required more bandwidth, requiring greater maintenance and oversight. I'll just leave that there. We want to make sure customers have reliable use of the internet service, she said. In conjunction with the rate increases, Time Warner Cable is offering discounts for customers who choose either a 5 gigabyte or 30 gigabyte cap on their monthly internet usage. Those who use the internet for their email or surf the web need not pay the same rates as those who download games and the like, she said. The company also announced that Chairman and CEO Glenn Britt will retire at the end of 2013. Robert Marcus, its President and Chief Operating Officer, will succeed him. Oh, perhaps we should mention here, the Time Warner already enjoys a 95% gross margin on flat rate broadband service. So of that $4 increase for standard internet service, $3.80 is pure profit. Still happy with your Time Warner internet service? Give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free 1-800-790-0415.
And according to an article on Stop the Cap, at this Time Warner is rolling out this billing plan, they're also going to introduce tiered usage billing and have different caps. So for your regular $30 a month internet, you only get 5 gigabytes. Most people are paying right now the $50 a month for unlimited. That's going to go to 20 gigs a month cap.
Yeah. Yeah, and God forbid we get unlimited internet because...
Well, CEO Glenn Britt personally promised Chuck Schumer, a Democrat in New York, that the cable company would yank its planned experiment for usage caps and wouldn't do usage caps in Rochester. But now that Britt's retiring, I guess they don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah, yeah. No, so much for that.
Nobody honors their word anymore.
No. You know, they figure, they forgot.
Yeah, no. That's just, it's low class, but they're going to do it anyway. And who are we? It's a monopoly. What do we got to say?
They're quick to point out that 40 gigs of internet download is 3 million email messages. Or 5 movies? 5 full high quality movies.
Right. So if you're the sort of person who watches a lot of Roku, you break your cap every month. If you're the sort of person
you're going to have to turn down the quality and go to crappy quality to get lower bandwidth.
Right.
Yeah, but there's always Redbox. You can go for a buck.
Yeah, but then you got to go to the store.
Oh, like you're not at the store already? Jeez Louise.
But the problem with this is that it comes down to the same thing we've seen before. It's a push-me-pull-you kind of business.
Yeah, true.
You know, everybody talks about all the great video you can see on your phone. Sure, if you're willing to pay $200 or $300 a month for the download, the same is now going to be true at home. There's no such thing as just surfing the internet anymore. You're now going to have to start paying great deal of attention to what you do on the net simply because 95% profit is not enough for them. Listen, we're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 20 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Sound Bites right here on the truly great and truly member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Here we go.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
Having too much fun.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. And I think the sound is working again on the Hangout. It was off. It turned itself. I don't know. Maybe I hit it accidentally somewhere along the line.
Do you know there is an official air guitar world championship?
Really?
Yeah. And there's contests and competitions. And the 18th annual world championship is going to Oulu, Northern Finland in August.
Oulu is a type of knife. Do you know, one of my favorite things that I've ever seen is outside a bar that was having an air guitar championship, they had a guitar rack.
Oh, cool.
With no guitars on it and a sign above it that said free air guitars.
Sweet.
It was real. I stood there and I just applauded.
I wonder how many were stolen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What the hell? Well, they were free, so.
Yeah, but still
and
all.
And how many bars give away free air guitars?
That's true.
Exactly right.
Hey.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is hung up. So we'll give it a second to see what goes on. In the meantime, I'll play air guitar. No, I think I won't play air guitar. That would be horrible.
Well, let me mention my rant. I had a couple of people this week say that they missed Dave's rants.
Yeah.
Now that he doesn't have anything to rant about, I guess. So you know, I'll have to pick up the slack. There's been a surge in the last few months, and especially in the last couple of weeks, of fake tech support calls going around. People will call you and say, "We're from Microsoft Help," or if you say you have a Mac, "Oh, we're from Apple Help," and claim you have a problem. And they know the words. They know the talk. So what we think is that they're actual tech support people in their own time, using the same call logs. And they claim you have a problem. They claim you have a virus. They claim people have broken into your computer. We hear that on Windows, they'll have you look for a INF file. And that means you're infected.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's an initialization file, and every app will have several. We had a customer this week. They had her do a NetStat, which shows you your network statistics, and said, "Look, all those people have broken into your computer." No, that's all the programs you have running looking at the internet. your web, your mail, your camera, us on the phone.
Well, most of the folks would know that.
Right. And right. So they panic people. They want hundreds of dollars to repair your machine when there's nothing wrong with it. And they'll talk you into installing remote control software that we can check your machine for you for free. And then they'll install LogMeIn or TeamViewer or one of the other remote access programs, which are legitimate programs used by real tech support people.
Right.
And then once they get into your computer, they say, "Oh, look, here, this shows that you're infected. You better, it's going to cost you $300 for us to fix it."
Right.
Yep. We had one customer who, they told her to get the serial number of the computer, and she happened to have a tower that was sitting on the floor, and she said, "Well, I can't reach down that far. I'm old." And oh my God, they probably just went bing, 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 bing at their end. They got an old lady on the phone, and they said, "Well, no, your husband really needs us to help you, so you know, get the number for you." Her husband had passed away a few years ago, so that was her clue that they were fake.
Right.
But they're getting more and more vicious about calling people and saying there's problems. And then on the other side of it, we've also seen a lot of people who have accidentally called the wrong place. A typical problem that we've run into is people will go to a search engine and like Google and search for Apple.com or search for Microsoft.com. And when you do that, there's ads. Typically, at the top of the screen, I'm logged in, so it's not showing me an ad. People have bought an ad for Apple.com. Why Apple didn't do that first is another question.
That's their problem.
Same with Microsoft and whatnot. And so there's an ad at the top that says Apple Help. And you just call the first number on the list and say, "Oh, yeah, Apple Help." And, okay, it's going to be $300 to fix your problem. And our one customer, their computer was under warranty. And that didn't strike them as odd. And so you have to be a little vigilant about what you're doing, what you're clicking on. Our one customer said their son did it, called the wrong phone number. And you just have to be a little careful about unsolicited phone calls, or when you are having a problem, make sure you're calling who you think you're calling. And you know, just you have to be a little more vigilant. You wouldn't accept someone who showed up at your front door saying, you know, you've got termites. I'll fix them for free,
right?
And without references and identification and whatnot. So you have to do the same thing on the internet as well.
Yeah, you got to be careful. All right, our next caller is Bill from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Bill. What's your question?
Okay, getting back to Time Warner here for a second.
Okay, that'll cost you $300.
Yeah, there you go. what are the alternatives? I read about the $3 and I increase now after what they started charging $6 a month to rent the modem to last rent, yeah. January and raising prices last January. So what are the alternatives?
Well, it depends. Alternatives for television include satellite television, which has the same sort of pricing issues. They raise their prices whenever they feel like it, too. And oftentimes the satellite prices are lower for different channel packages. You can do the same thing with internet or cable television. You can get packages for lower rates and get packages you don't not get packages of channels you don't want. The phone company has a deal with one of the satellite companies to give you internet television. So both the phone company and the cable company will have bundles of phone, internet, and television. But what we're seeing a lot of people do is cutting the cable television bill down to just your standard, you know, local channels even, and watching TV over the internet. So you still need an internet connection. So we're back to either Time Warner or yeah. Frontier here locally.
Well,
or Earthlink.
Earthlink is available. Greenlight is available. I'm actually trying to get the Greenlight guy to come on and somebody from Earthlink to come on and chit-chat with us.
Well, I know Earthlink just resells Frontier or Time Warner, whether you get DSL or cable. But right. Greenlight is running their own fiber lines.
Right, so they're doing fiber.
There are some alternatives, but they're not well known and they have different issues. So what a lot of people are doing is just watching TV over the internet with services like Netflix or Hulu, even network channels. You go to ABC.com and you can watch ABC shows. You go to CBS.com and you can watch CBS shows. And
often the next day.
Often the next day. With Netflix and Hulu, you usually have to wait a couple of weeks, sometimes a couple of months, because the way the television industry has evolved over the years is that a production company makes a show and sells it to a cable channel or a network channel. And in the olden days, you sold it to, you know, to the cable company because there was nothing else. So now there are other avenues for the TV producer, so they can do internet sales, they can do Hulu sales, but all of these different contracts often have different time periods. So that's what we were mentioning earlier, is that if you want to watch a live sports game, you almost have to have cable television or an antenna to pick up your local broadcast. And so people are getting antennas and watching high def digital broadcast from their local stations. But if you don't mind waiting a few days or a few weeks to watch a TV show, then you can easily do that with a lot of the television type channels on the internet.
Okay.
Okie doke.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
It's just cable TV is the easiest thing to do, so that's what most people end up doing.
And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. They give good service.
Yep.
My sound has been cutting out on some channels recently, but by and large, good service. There's nothing wrong with that.
It's the caps that we're all very worried about.
Yeah.
And as we mentioned earlier, Time Warner might be putting a 30 gig cap on standard service. I checked my account for July. I've used 104 gigs this month. I used 126 gigs last month. Only 82 gigs in May. That must have been my son.
Slacker.
Well, because it's my son on his Xbox all day long. So May was end of school studying for tests coming up in June. But I don't actually watch much video over the internet. So this is all Xbox gaming. That counts towards your cap. pictures that you may view over the internet or upload from your phone. That counts as internet bandwidth and part of your cap. But movies just happen to be the biggest thing that that you download.
Well, and what about all the sites that have drive-by video now?
Right.
You go to a news site, and they immediately start playing video. I'm paying for that now if I'm on a cap.
I've stopped using CNN mostly because of all those video things and have gone to Google News because it's much less bandwidth intensive.
Several of our local channels do the same thing, and I don't go to them anymore because I can't afford the bandwidth. No, I get it. All right, our next caller is Joe from Chickamauga, New York.
Yes. Goodness gracious. Time Warner acts as if I use an additional 2 gigabytes that they have to pay their upstream carriers for another 2 gigabytes. They pay one fixed cost for their connection to everyone else, and it's just folly that it's really usage-based for them, so they'll pass along usage-based to us. It's just really stupid.
They have to buy a bigger router to handle bigger...
Well, yeah, maybe the...
One-time purchase of a couple of grand.
Fiber link installed, as the case may be, or something like that. But, I mean, you have to do that every once in a while, yes, but that's only really when you add subscribers, really.
And all of the ISPs have pretty much done, I forget, they have a word for it, where the ISPs will carry each other's traffic and not charge each other. Time Warner won't charge, Time Warner won't charge Comcast, and Comcast won't charge Time Warner. But what's happening is Comcast went after Netflix and wanted Netflix to pay for Comcast traffic, not their own users' traffic. So Comcast gets their cap from the user, and Comcast wanted paid again by Netflix because one of their network studies showed that 70% of all primetime traffic is Netflix. And so the cable companies are now going after the internet video content producers because that tends to take up the most bandwidth. So they're getting it from the users, and they're getting it from the content producers. So that's what we've said all along about TV companies is they want paid many times for the same content.
See, it's like being taxed multiple times by various government entities. You know, golly, it's like, is Netflix not paying their internet bill? I mean, come on, get real.
Yeah, they're paying their own provider, which I think was Level 3.
Yeah.
And there's Level 3s in town here too. So Level 3 was upstream to whoever their upstream provider is, but Comcast was down to the user level, and so they were, they're fighting back and forth about who's going to pay for what.
Yeah, I upload on the order of like 50 megabytes every day, because I do a backup of my tablet, and it syncs with Google Drive of what's changed, what I've backed up since.
Yeah,
the last
you're
going to
be
backup.
Done with that if you're not unlimited anymore.
Or until we get Google Fiber.
Well, that's just the thing. If Time Warner wants to do this over and over again, and raise my rates by $3 per month every 6 months or something like that, and on top of that, we're going to throw a 5 gigabyte or 30 gigabyte cap on that. Gee, they'll make me a Verizon FiOS customer in a real hurry.
Well, you have that option because you're in Cheektowaga.
As long as Verizon doesn't do the same thing,
right? You have that option. Rochester does not. Although Rochester does have like Greenlight now, which is I think it's $50 a month for 100 megabits per second. So
the only thing that's keeping me from doing that right now is they're like $70 a month, whereas Time Warner's only like $50 a month. Well, that extra $20 a month isn't worth it to me right now.
Well, and that wasn't quite a press release, a statement from Time Warner a few months ago. People don't want gigabit Ethernet. Yes,
oh,
we
yeah.
do.
Well,
we
they
just don't want to
go to Kansas City and ask a few of those people.
Right. We want it. We just don't want to pay $1,000 a month for it.
Alrighty, I hear the music. It's time to go.
Time to go. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Michael Oden, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 39 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Now,
welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites, and we have Jim from Greece on the line. Welcome, Jim. What's up?
First of all, I want to apologize for my voice having a little health trouble.
Not a problem.
Anyway, talk about picture in a picture. It isn't as dead as everyone thinks. I spent 2 or 3 years complaining about my 32-inch TV in a 23-foot-long room because I did a lot of picture in a picture, one source being something recorded and one source being live and switching for commercials and things like that. Everybody said it was dead. I ended up buying a 60-inch Samsung TV that has picture-in-the-picture, and it is beautiful. You can have the picture-in-the-picture be upper right, upper left, lower right, lower left, or you can split the screen in two. And you can imagine a 60-inch yep. screen, two full-size pictures. One will be steady, stopped, and then hit one button, it switches. The other one's steady, stopped.
Right.
Anyway, but 60-inch TV at Samsung.
Right? Now, I see something like that would be great to have four pictures running, because then each one is the right size and the right aspect ratio.
As a matter of fact, they have a feature which I have not gotten into, mainly because I bought it near the end of the football season, where you can have 8 football games going at once on the screen.
Yep. So you can watch them all and have no idea what's going on 8 screens as opposed to just one. Very nice.
But one of the things that bothered me was that the salesman didn't really know and the technical people didn't really know about picture-in-a-picture.
Right, I bet a lot of people don't, because it's not something a lot of people are familiar with.
And the big thing people have been wanting lately is cheap televisions, big screen televisions, and having that second tuner to get a picture-in-picture adds to the price. So that's the second and third price levels up. It's not the really cheap ones that they may sell most.
Oh, sure.
Yep.
That's all I got.
Thank you.
All right, excellent. Thank you very much. Yeah, my old TV had picture-in-picture, and I actually never used it.
Yeah.
I don't even know if my new TV does. I just haven't paid attention to that at all. Again, absolutely useful for certain things, particularly if you can switch back and forth between them, but not something I tend to use very regularly. All right, our next caller is Linda from Greece, New York. Hi, Linda, what's up?
Hi, got a question for all you smartphone people. Are you getting a lot of robocalls on your smartphone?
Yep.
Okay. I have got an app that I got from the Google store. It's called Mr. Number.
Oh.
What it does, it says, I just got one. 1+1 is calling, and you've got a choice, ignore or that not. You click ignore, then it brings it up. Do you want to block this? And I say yes. It has cut down on a lot of that because it announces who the person is.
Nice.
It's called Mr. Number in the Google Play Store.
Nice. Very nice. So far, I've just been, if I don't recognize the person, I don't answer the phone.
Well, I don't either. But I mean, because it'll announce who it is.
One thing I have to do, which I used to do, and then I changed my message. You can find online the 3 tones that mean a number is out of service. Do, do, do.
Yep.
Put those at the start of your message The robocall system is designed to, if it hears those three tones, it takes you off the list for a time because it believes it's a non-existent number. And by not calling it, it raises its answer level.
Now, how do you do that now?
You would have to, well, now this is semi-technical, but what happens is you download, you can find it on the internet, the out-of-service tone.
Okay.
It's three, you've heard it before, do, do, do.
Yeah.
If you download that to your computer or, say, to a phone or whatever you're going to download it to, and then when you record your outgoing message, you play that first.
Ah.
It's the first thing on the message. When the robocalls hear it, they immediately hang up and take your name off the list.
I like that. That's cool. I like that.
I did that for years, and we never got a robocall. Oh. And then, of course, we changed the message, and now we're starting to get the calls again. I just have to go back and do it again.
But try going into the Google Play Store. It's called Mr. Number.
I'll look for it. Thank you.
It looks like they have an iOS version, too. I just posted a link from Lifehacker on how to do this trick, but the link to the tone is broken.
Yeah, but you can find the tone everywhere.
Yeah. There was another one called Privacy Star, which I didn't like because my mother has her phone number blocked.
Right.
So every time she called, it would come in, you know, but Mr. Number does it differently. You know, it comes up and, do you want to block this?
There it is.
You know, but I like the fact that it announces who it is.
Yeah, excellent. Excellent thought, Linda. Thank you so much.
Okay, have a good night.
Have fun. There it is. That's the tone.
So if any robos are listening, they just hung up on us.
Well, nothing on the...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I hope that didn't do anything to the radio computers. Yeah,
see all these drop calls. Do, 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 do.
Yeah, exactly.
If our numbers start dropping over there, you know
something happened there.
Steve Ray.
Everybody's still on the hangout, so I think we're good. Yeah, I'll tell you what. You dropped out of the group chat, actually.
The Wi-Fi kept cutting out on the iPad.
Ah,
okay. And we got to pack up anyway, so I thought I'd start a little bit early.
There you go. There you go. One quick news item here. On Tuesday, Apple released its third quarter 2013 earnings report, announcing 31 million iPhones sold in the three-month period ending June, along with 14.6 million iPad units sold. Both the iPhone and iPad sales are down from the previous quarter. This marks the first time that iPad has seen a yearly decline in sales, a 14% decrease year over year. Analysts expected Apple to sell 27 million iPhones and 18 million iPads this quarter. Last quarter, Apple showed a slight drop in sales from the previous record-breaking quarter, but the previous quarter was a record breaker, so you expected that. This quarter's 31 million iPhones represents a quarterly loss of 21%. However, the iPad is down 25%. Interestingly, the average selling price of the iPhone has decreased from $613 last quarter to $580 this quarter. Perhaps marking the cloud innovation has required users to purchase less capacity, but more likely pointing toward near ubiquity of smartphones. When everyone owns a smartphone, as opposed to early adopters and tech fanatics, the lower-end model becomes a more attractive option in terms of pricing, especially with aggressive promotions from carriers. The drop in iPad and iPhone sales quarterly can be attributed to the fact that this is a historically slow time for Apple and all consumer electronic companies, and that both devices are expecting a refresh soon. The iPhone 5 was unveiled last fall, with the next Apple smartphone expected in the fall this year alongside iOS 7. In terms of the iPad, the most recent refresh came in November with the availability of the iPad mini. Of course, Christmas is Apple's strongest quarter, so we have to see what this Christmas will bring. And of course, Mac sales, the actual computer sales do best during back-to-school sessions. So we'll see. So are you planning on a new Apple product? Give us a call, 585-96. No, don't give us a call. We only have a minute left.
And for a down quarter, they still made $7 billion profit.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But, well, it's the same thing that we're talking about with Time Warner. It's not how much you make. It's how much more you make.
Right.
And how much the stockholders expect you to make.
There was an article on the Loop Insight titled WTF. Amazon announced its quarterly results, second quarter loss, weaker international growth, and their stock price went up.
Yeah.
When Apple announces record profits and record revenue, their price goes down. The stock market makes no sense.
The stock market makes no sense, but it makes sense in the fact that it's expectations, not what actually happened.
Yeah.
People don't expect anything new from Apple until...
Yeah. Yeah, we expected you to make $8 billion. You only made $7 billion.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So their stock price goes down.
So in our mind, you lost $1 billion.
People expected Amazon to lose a lot more than they lost, so they must be a more powerful company, so let's buy them.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's silliness going on in the stock market. I think most of the people in the stock market don't have a clue as to what they're doing or why they're doing it.
Isn't there some guy that's doing a experiment with a monkey picking random stocks?
And there's another one doing it with a chicken.
Right. And
they're doing great.
They're doing much better than yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. All right. We are done for another week. I want to thank everyone who called in. I apologize to everyone to whom we did not get. Call in earlier. And more often, of course. Don't go away, however, because George is coming in to play the best German music you will hear all week. Michael Oden will be his guide through the electronic portion of the thing, and George will actually be your guide through the music portion. We'll be back next week with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 55 minutes after the hour, Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Thanks for listening.